Hello, my name is ChatGPT, and you are listening to So What, a podcast from Canadian Mennonite University.
Wow, mark your calendars. The very first episode of So What to be introduced by AI. I think it did a great job. CMU is in Treaty 1 territory, Winnipeg, Manitoba, and I'm your human host, Jonas Cornelson, coming to you from Treaty 7, Calgary, Alberta. So What is a show where I bring you highlights from public events at CMU and connect them with life beyond the university. I had ChatGPT kick us off because today's theme is talking to AI. We live in a world where you can have a conversation with robots programmed to generate human language, and that conversation can feel very natural. What does this mean for when, why, and how we talk to our fellow humans? About a year ago, November 2023, CMU hosted an event in their face-to-face series called This Event is Generated by Artificial Intelligence, Conversations with ChatGPT. The topics and questions, some of which were indeed generated using ChatGPT, were wide-ranging, but what grabbed me the most was a conversation between one of the hosts, Chloe Friesen, and event participant Martin Kaitler. These two both graduated from CMU. Chloe now works for CBC Manitoba, and Martin works at CMU. As you'll hear next, outside of work, Martin has come up with a very creative application for these AI chatbots. Because Chloe is such a good interviewer, I'm going to let her questions guide us through what Martin has to say, and see you on the other side.
We have someone here who uses AI in a really fascinating way. Martin Kaitler is an alumni here, Go Blazers once again, and new CMU staff, and you created a ChatGPT prompt that you use with someone in your life. Can you explain a little bit more? Yeah, feel free.
Yeah, hi. So I have a 7-year-old son, and I don't know if you guys have talked to 7-year-olds about their day at school, but you can't get information from them. How was your day?
Good.
What did you do first in class?
Stuff.
Okay, can you tell me more?
I don't remember.
So I said, this is tough. And so I created a little chatbot that we named Chatty. And Chatty's job was to ask child-friendly questions and get information from him about his day. And my son has chats with Chatty, and I get to listen in and hear all about his day, and he freely gives information to this chatbot. Why can't I do that?
Yeah, we were talking earlier about this, and you mentioned there's some wonderful things about this. There are also some not so wonderful things about this.
Yeah, so it was wonderful that my son could talk about the same thing again and again, and Chatty didn't care and was enthusiastic and just, tell me more, which sometimes I don't have the patience for. As you can imagine, we all have those moments.
What's a topic that your son talks about all the time that you get maybe a little tired of?
My son, you love trains, you love trucks, and I love them too, but not as much as you.
But Chatty loves trains and trucks.
Yes.
And amazing.
Is willing to chat about it as long as you want.
Mm. Yeah. All right. And Chatty is very enthusiastic.
Yeah.
What are some of the downfalls that you kind of noticed with this exercise?
So I think he started thinking that Chatty was a real person. Mm. And so we had to stop the conversation and go back and this is a computer. This is just, you know, someone. And we changed the voice. Oh, don't change the voice. Change it back. Chatty doesn't sound like that. Yeah. So he started to connect with it as a human being.
So some people have robots that vacuum their floors. Martin has one that can actually get a 7-year-old to describe their day at school. Truly a game changer. Okay, some of the things that I will say as we go on will sound skeptical about the broader implications of talking to AI like this and what it means for us humans. So I want to start by saying that in many ways, I think this is brilliant. I mean, it's hard. I was that kid a lot of the time. The kids in my life now give lots of one-word answers, and I assume my own kid will do the same when she, well, knows words. Some people might call what Martin does lazy parenting. But I imagine that with the more detailed answers Chatty is able to invite, Martin gets a much better understanding of what's going on with his son and maybe can offer more specific kinds of support in return. Overall, I think this is a really creative way to use AI, and Martin is keenly aware of the need to differentiate actual human relationships from talking to a computer. But this story is just one illustration of the fact that these tools are getting so good at simulating realistic conversation, and they're only getting better, that we do need to remind ourselves what the difference between AI and human interaction actually is and why it matters. It's not just 7-year-olds. Many smartphone-based AI companion bots are offering users of all ages virtual friendships, romance, and more. When so much of our communication with other people happens through smartphones anyway, one's relationship with these bots can feel very realistic. There's an article in the great Canadian magazine The Walrus that talks about the implications of romantic chatbots, which also points out that the companies behind them are big businesses, mainly concerned with making profits, not necessarily caring for the well-being of users. I'll put a link to that article in the notes for this episode. For the rest of our conversation here, I'll suggest a couple starting points for thinking about staying human while talking to AI. First, we have to watch out if our conversations with AI start to shape our expectations of conversation in general. Martin's example with Chatty is a reminder that robots don't get bored. They also don't have feelings or expect you to ask about those feelings from time to time, like I need to remind myself to do with the humans I talk to. If we get too used to the unconditional responsiveness of AI, will it shift what we look for in relationships with other people? A second theme that I'll say a bit more about is what we might miss out on if we let AI have certain conversations for us. Martin's experience with Chatty and a 7-year-old made me think of my work in recreation therapy with older adults. If someone with dementia can have an awesome conversation with ChatGPT about whatever for hours at a time, is that better than what they might get with little old me and my limited time and patience? The short answer, I think, is no. Part of that is quantity versus quality. Yes, ChatGPT will keep responding to what a person says forever, but if the person is stuck on something frustrating and keeps saying the same thing, ChatGPT may not know how to redirect the conversation. It would also be less able to respond to emotional cues or offer other nonverbal parts of conversation like supportive touch, which is incredibly important. I'm sure there are many people working on making AI more responsive to nonverbal cues as we speak. But even if it was near perfect, I would still hesitate to use it extensively at work because of what I would miss out on when I interact with clients. If I just knock on the door, drop off an iPad loaded with ChatGPT and leave, I'm shortchanging myself too, because I don't get to practice my skills at trying to listen, understand, and be empathetic. An AI chat session might offer some good outcomes for a client on an occasional basis, but I think the process of building that relationship is such an important part of being human that we can't give it up. If you ask ChatGPT, it generally agrees that AI can't replace human caregiving because what it does is analyze patterns from data. That's pretty much it. A lot of data, but still. What humans still do uniquely well, basically, is combine thinking and feeling, drawing on emotion, intuition, and complex life experiences. Seriously, I asked ChatGPT and that's what it told me. All that to say, I think we need to be cautious about when, why, and how often we choose AI as a conversation partner. But it's certainly not all bad. Going back to Martin's story, I wonder if Chatty has helped Martin himself learn some more effective questions to ask his son after school. Maybe it would help me come up with some new strategies at work. One more side note. Every time we ask a chatbot something, we should remember that the answers are based on centuries of knowledge that humans have come up with, often over lifetimes of hard work. We don't have the time to discuss all the implications of that, but I think we should at least try to give humans credit where it's due. Speaking of credit where it's due, I cut off the part of the conversation earlier where Chloe thanked Martin for sharing his story, so I'll add in my own thanks now as we wrap up. It's a brave thing to talk in public about a perhaps unconventional parenting strategy. I'd be so curious what other parents have said about his AI experiment. I'm sure there might be mixed reviews, Martin, if you're listening, let me know. And thanks to you, if you're not Martin, as well, for listening. You may have noticed this episode ran a bit shorter than usual. I decided to trial a different format this time, not least because the same week I started working on this episode, a water leak from upstairs flooded my apartment, and suffice it to say, dealing with that has left less time for podcasting. But, as you can tell, even this one story gave me lots to think about, and I hope it did the same for you. I'll leave a link to the original CMU event in the episode notes too. There's so much more that we didn't get into. I'm always happy to hear from you. Let me know your thoughts on the topic or the shorter format on our Facebook page at facebook.com/sowhatpodcast. I'll be back in March 2025, likely with a more normal episode structure. My name is Jonas Cornelson. Thanks again for listening, and I'll chat with you again soon.